Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this third Sunday of Advent, also known as Gaudete Sunday. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear and discuss our Gospel from St. John. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
You're invited to join thousands of Texans at the annual Texas Rally for Life, Saturday, January 24th, at the Capitol in Austin. Commemorating the 42nd anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, which made abortion legal throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. Events will begin with Mass at 10:30 a.m. at St. Vincent de Paul Parish, 9500 Nina Avenue. The march will follow immediately through the streets of Austin to the state capitol for an inspiring rally. Over 57 million children in America have not been born because of abortion. For complete information, including registration, contact Ethel Dulock in the Office of Life, Justice, and Human Dignity for the Diocese of Corpus Christi at 882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you doing this morning?
Very well, Barbara. And to all of our listeners, well into the Advent season, very happy Advent to you as well. So happy Sunday.
Yes. I like this Sunday because of the pink vestments. And it's cheerful, and we'll talk more about that.
Yes, of course, okay.
Later.
Sure.
All right, well, our gospel today is from St. John, so let's prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light, and this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "Who are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said to them, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" As Isaiah the prophet said, some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning of the program, Bishop, this is Gaudete Sunday, and of course that is the Latin word for rejoice, which is the reason that the rose-colored vestments, and we light the rose candle instead of the purple candle this morning.
Right, and it's, you know, this happens also in Lent when we call it Laetare Sunday. It was kind of to be glad, and I think it's a reminder to all of us that in any life of conversion, that it's not all gloom and doom. You know, because our whole life is a conversion, and it's a journey of life. And so as we practice prayer and penance, reconciliation, sacraments, et cetera, that there also needs to be this note of joy and rejoicing, because it reminds us of the reason Yeah, not to just use one of these little phrases that's the reason for the season, but the reason for the season is joy and rejoicing.
Or like little jingles.
Yes, I mean, I think some of our Christmas hymns will certainly speak of that joy, and the Advent hymns even. But my point is that we can take things overly dramatic in our life, and certainly, to be a person of faith is to also be a person of joy. As we prepare for Christmas, as we prepare for the celebration of the Lord's birth, we have to remember that the ultimate gift there is to be joyful, because we have received a gift. So this Sunday, called Gaudete Sunday, is just in the midst of the purple vestments, in the midst of perhaps a call to conversion from ourselves, from the church, that there's also this note of great joy, that the reason we do all of this is to rejoice in the gift of God's Son who comes to us, and we celebrate at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. And, as a little bit of context in regards to the gospel reading this morning, during Advent, the second and third Sundays focus on John the Baptist, who, of course, was the forerunner to Christ, who announced to Israel, like he did in our gospel, make straight the way of the Lord.
Right. It's always a call to conversion, and John the Baptist was that one chosen by God to be the forerunner whenever there was a prophet or someone with good news. Someone would come before to almost prepare the people to kind of a heads up, mm-hmm. listen. Or I'm sure I don't know if this is a good analogy, but I think some of these talk shows that you see, there's I remember years ago I went to one when I was in New York City. I got tickets with some friends of mine when I was in college, and on the Johnny Carson show, and we went, and oh my gosh, they come out beforehand, they get everybody all riled up and ready to go, so when he walks out, you're just screaming and I wouldn't say that was the job of a forerunner, but at least it was to point the way, to prepare the person, and it's so beautiful here how John says with such humility that I am not the Christ, mm-hmm. that he came so that people might believe through him, not believe in him. And that's something for us, I think, this Advent season to remind ourselves as well, is that we don't substitute the messenger for the message or the messenger for the one who is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Sometimes we get caught up in the personality of the person bringing the message, and we forget the messenger, and forget the one who brings the message, which is Jesus himself. So John the Baptist was one of those who was on the forefront, preparing the way, talking to people about the coming of Christ, but was in the background, was ready to move off, to pull away, so that he did not interfere with the message. And I think for us, speaking for myself and us as priests and those who give homilies and teach, we have to be like John the Baptist is a good model for us to communicate the message, but to realize we are not the message. We are not the one who has brought the message, and we are here simply as a forerunner mm-hmm. to the person of Jesus Christ.
Well, and of course, there was such a closeness between John the Baptist and Jesus before either one of them were born, because, of course, Mary and Elizabeth were cousins.
Right.
And when Mary went to visit Elizabeth when she was expecting John the Baptist, the baby leapt in her room. Spirit recognized spirit.
Right, right.
So even then,
sure,
there was a recognition.
Sure. Yeah, for example, is what I was talking about a couple of weeks ago about a self-reflection, that meaning comes from within. And we see in that encounter with Mary and Elizabeth that the baby leapt in her womb. It expresses a deep inner life, that there was more sensitivity to the interior life for Elizabeth and for Mary, and obviously even in the womb, John the Baptist, that there's a sensitivity to God which I think we have to be careful that we don't lose as we surround our life, cloud our life, bombard our life with so much noise and so many distractions and so many things that it's hard for us to even appreciate a scene like that, that a baby leaping in the womb of its mother at the presence of the one that he would ultimately serve. But when we think of it in terms of the spiritual life and the purity of that spiritual life without the distractions and the bombardments and the clouds of things that we put into our life, there is a greater sensibility because there's a greater ability to listen from within in that interior side. So John the Baptist is that forerunner both in his life but also in his mother's womb, already signaling that there's a new era coming to bring the message of God's love and reconciliation and forgiveness.
And of course, as you mentioned before, John the Baptist was so humble in his message.
Yes, and I think, you know, just his whole demeanor is one that speaks of that, just the type of person he was. I'm not sure I'd want to be around him that much personally. Love the desert, love locusts and all this kind of stuff,
right.
A very austere kind of life. And of course, we have to take that in context of his time and his days and his own credibility. And I think much of that expression that we find in the Gospels about his person, where he fed on locusts and honey and lived in the desert, was really to interiorly prepare himself to bring the message, because it would not be one that was readily welcomed. So it's not a matter of being a friend of his or not, but to realize John's call was to prepare himself interiorly to receive the message and then communicate the message. And basically, Barbara, I think if we look at it, this is what Advent is about, for us to do the same, to intensify our preparation to be able to celebrate Christmas not as a annual celebration of all the niceties that go around it, but to truly focus on that child in the manger. This child is a gift to me, and as I look into this child's eyes, I see myself. God's gift or God's intention for me to call me to be another Christ today. And that takes an interior preparation and interior awareness, which John himself prepared himself to announce to others.
Well, thank you, Bishop. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
A lot of people are moving into Corpus Christi, and that's good news. More good news is that locating a parish church or Catholic school is now easier than ever. Just log on to diocesecc.org. That's diocese, D-I-O-C-E-S-E, cc.org. You'll find loads of information there, including parish locations, mass times, Catholic schools, information about the diocese, its clergy, youth and support groups, the South Texas Catholic newspaper, and so much more. Even if you've lived in the Corpus Christi, South Texas area for some time, you'll still want to visit the website and learn more about the church and its many activities, missions, and schools. Again, the website, diocesecc.org.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, we were talking about John the Baptist and his humility and the preparation of the arrival of Jesus, and there were some sections of this gospel that talked about that directly.
Yeah, the one that I really like, it's toward the end, where John says, the one who is coming after me, or there's one among you that you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie his sandal strap as a slave would maybe do, or as a house servant would do, mm-hmm. as the master returned home. That's an incredible statement of humility. And when you think about it, and what we were talking about earlier of John leaping in the womb of his mother Elizabeth when Mary arrived in their presence, something happened and stirred in John. Plus, you know, saying, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not the Christ, but maintain that same spirit of self-awareness, which is embedded in self-humility or in humility, that John was not trying to promote himself at any time. I immediately thought of the book of Genesis when Moses is in front of the burning bush and hears the Lord say, remove your sandals because you're on holy ground. Again, I guess a kind of a theme for me this Advent is that sense of awareness of who we are in front of God. So many times, because God is pushed away, eliminated in some parts of our society, that we have lost any sensitivity to the sacred. There's nothing sacred in many people's awareness of reality. There's nothing sacred. It's all profane. It's all what's natural. And that's because there's no faith. And so when faith is eliminated, when God is eliminated, nothing is sacred. We see this in the many over the past years, how many people have been shot or bombarded or bombs in different parts of the world, in our own country. It's because we have or the many thousands, millions of abortions. We have no sense of what is sacred, that life is sacred because it's a gift from God. My neighbor is sacred because they're a child of God. A person who is poor or in needy is the face of Jesus Christ, sacred. Whatever you do, the least you've done to me. So this sense of the sacred is being lost. And Advent is a kind of time also to re-enkindle that in myself, in all of us. And seeing John the Baptist in this gospel today brings attention to that thing, of that very theme that John said, I'm not worthy to untie his sandal strap. A tremendous sense of being in the presence of Jesus Christ, the sacred, the Holy One. And, you know, this is that sense of the sacred. I think if anyone is out there thinking, well, how can I recuperate or how can I have a deeper awareness or sensitivity to the sacredness of life, the sacredness of living in this world today? And I think we could ask for it. Let me just get right to it.
Right.
And why? Because that sense of sacredness comes from one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is fear of the Lord. That may seem like a big stretch to come from Advent and go to the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we speak about at Pentecost. But in reality, John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit, Mary, filled with the Spirit, Elizabeth, under the inspiration of the Spirit, obviously were living in one way or another those gifts of the Spirit. And one of them is fear of the Lord, which means, of course, the ultimate respect, the ultimate reverence for the divine. As I mentioned earlier, to eliminate faith, to eliminate God, is to eliminate the sensitivity to the divine, to things that are sacred, to God who is sacred. But the fear of the Lord, that gift, is this total respect and total awe in front of God. And I think as we prepare for the birth of Jesus, nothing should give us greater pause, greater reverence, greater awe than the fact that the divine nature, God, would humble himself to the point of becoming a human being. The mystery of what we call the incarnation, the incarnate Word of God, who has come to live among us. That is a stooping, a coming, a humbling of self from the divine to the human. Saint Irenaeus would say that he became what we are so that we can become what he is. The divine becoming human so that what is human can become divine. That's God's action. And that's the action as a gift of the Holy Spirit, to have this tremendous fear of the Lord. Or another way to put it is to not see that God is my buddy. You know, mm-hmm. We seem to reduce everything to the lowest common denominator today. So that everybody can identify. Well, the human person needs what is sacred. The human person needs what is beyond him or herself. We need the divine. We need God. And the gift of fear of the Lord, the gift of this reverence for God, the reverence for who is sacred and holy alone is holy, is a gift from God himself in the Holy Spirit to give us that gift of the fear of the Lord. So I would just, again, say it would be an opportunity during this Advent as we prepare for the celebration of the Lord's birth to ask for that particular gift, the gift of the fear of the Lord, to have a deep, deep reverence for God's presence in our life, God's presence in the world, even though it seems to be stifled out in places and in different times, but it's there, and that we as his followers, as his disciples, really focus on giving God the reverence, the respect, the love that is due him as our God and creator.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you, Bishop. You know, I want to mention, since we are in the, today is December the 14th, and we start the period, the octave before Christmas, December 17th through the 23rd, and it's the O antiphons that are usually said during this time, or are said, and it has a lot of history.
Right. Yeah, these are, antiphon, of course, is the introductory verses that introduce the psalms that we recite at Mass after the readings, or as we say, the Liturgy of the Hours in the morning and the evening. Especially, we have two. In the morning, we say the Canticle of Zechariah, which is the Benedictus, or Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. So the verse that Zechariah sang in the temple. But also in the evenings, there's the Canticle of Mary, the Magnificat, My Soul Proclaims the Greatness of the Lord. So these O antiphons go back to the 8th century, and they are the antiphons that introduce the Magnificat in the evening prayers from December 17th to the 23rd. They conjure up, they bring up the ancient biblical imagery that announce really the coming of the Messiah. So it's very messianic in its announcement, and really brings about a longing for the Messiah to come. And so, for example, if we want to just focus on a couple of them, on the very first one on December 17th in the evening prayer, O wisdom of our God Most High, guiding creation with power and love, come to teach us the path of knowledge. So with each one of these, there is a proclamation of right. God's wisdom, or God who is the root of Jesse. But in each one of them, it's an invitation. We know who you are. You are the wisdom of the God Most High. You are the key of David, O radiant dawn, come. And so there's a mission there. So it's a proclamation and then an invitation. Mm-hmm. So if we took the next one, December 18th, O leader of the house of Israel, giver of the law of Moses on Sinai, come to rescue us with your mighty power. The next day, O root of Jesse's stem, sign of God's love for all people, come to save us without delay. O key of David, opening the gates of God's eternal kingdom, come and free the prisoners of darkness. O radiant dawn, splendor of eternal light, Son of justice, come and shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death. O King of the nations and keystone of the church, come and save man whom you have formed from the dust. And finally, O Emmanuel, O our King and giver of law, come to save us, Lord our God. What a beautiful tradition, you know, for Advent to announce these ancient titles, these ancient understandings of the Messiah, and then as we grow closer and closer to the day of the Lord's birth, we keep pleading, come, come, come and be our Savior. So that's not something that goes back 2,000 years. It's something that, again, from the interior of our life, we want to say today, come, teach us knowledge, come with your mighty power, come without delay, come and free us from our darkness. Come and give us the light that shines in our hearts. Come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, and for our listeners out there who may be looking for them, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops website, the usccb.org, has a whole section on Advent, and that's where I pulled, a copy of these.
Yeah,
so
sure.
For people that are looking for more material, there's a volume of material there in Blessings.
And those of us that are 65 and older will have a harder time finding them, but go to your 12-year-old son or nephew or grandchild, and they'll find it for you very quickly.
Yes, they will. Thank you, Bishop. So if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who see how your people faithfully await the feast of our Lord's Nativity, enable us, we pray, to attain the joys of so great a salvation and to celebrate them always with solemn worship and glad rejoicing. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.